Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.
Turn with me, if you would, to the Book of Romans. Book of Romans and chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul asks a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer, of course, is certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We should no longer be slaves to sin. I want to talk to you just for a little while. I know every preacher says that and then they go on and on and on, but I'm not like that. But I want to talk to you about understanding the spiritual realm in which we've been brought into. We need to understand some basic concepts of what it means when we have been born again, and what we've been brought into, what is really our position now we have been born again. That's important that people understand this, because these are principles that we really need to embrace and get hold of. Otherwise, that stunts our spiritual growth and understanding. Colossians 1:13, which we've mentioned many times, says this, that when we believed, when a person really believes, the Bible says that they are translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we're brought from under the devil or the power of darkness, under his domain, under his sway, under his influence, under his power. We're brought from that and we're placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Kingdom meaning a realm, a rule. We come under the rule and the reign of Christ. Now, this kingdom is totally different from the old. So in the kingdom of God, there are new principles that we have to adhere to if we really want to walk with God successfully. So the kingdom has certain principles and certain rules. One is this, of course, and Jesus said this in Matthew's account. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Everything that the world seeks after, he says, what you need to seek after, this is a different principle, because when we were operating under the power of Satan, we were seeking after all those things, right? That's what we gave our lives to. That's what the world is doing. That's why everybody hears about this so-called American dream, which is not biblical at all. It's what somebody's made up, right? But that's what the world seeks after. But the Bible says when we come to know Christ, our first priority is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, I'll add all these things to you that the world seeks after. Isn't that great? Huh? So there's new principles that we have to adhere to, new rules. Not legalistic rules, but principles that bring us into more of the life flow and the abundance that God intended us to enjoy. How many of you know this morning that the Christian life is really designed for you to enjoy it? Right? I know it says either endures, and there are certain temptations and tribulations, but never forget that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And never forget this also, that people that don't know Christ still go through difficulties, problems, circumstances, and tribulations. Right? That's what the world's about. But when we're in the kingdom, we have the King working with us, and we have been brought into a new order, a new realm, a new life, a new kingdom. We become a new creation, so our position has changed dramatically. So the whole of the New Testament then is, how do we apply that? What does it mean in our day-to-day lives? It's something far greater than just simply being forgiven. We've been brought into a kingdom. We're under new rule, new reign, new management. Like I said earlier, we're no longer our own. We're sons of the living God. Not slaves to sin, but sons of the King. That's got to be better than slaves to sin, hasn't it? So when we become a new person, when we are born again, listen to me, this is very, very important. God does not start to patch up the old life. Right? It's not a patch up salvation. The Bible says we become a new creation. He brings us into a new kingdom and he gives us a new nature. That is not a patched up old nature. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? When the Bible says that in the end times there will be new heavens and a new earth, it means what it says, there will be new heavens and a new earth, not a patched up old earth. Be a new earth and new heavens. And when you were born again, he didn't patch up your old nature and just simply say, I'll start working on that. He gave you a new nature. That's what your Bible says. Right? We became a new creation. And this is a verse that takes some understanding. It's in 1 John 5:18, and it says this, whatsoever is born of God does not sin. Now that does take some understanding. Because I know that you're still sinners. I know that. So am I. I know I'm not perfect. You don't need to remind me. Please. I beg you. Neither are you perfect. But we still have this verse. Whatsoever is born of God does not sin. So what does that mean? It means the new nature that God has placed within you does not sin. It doesn't sin. Right? But you still have an old nature that does. So we have a new nature that doesn't, but we have an old nature still working within us that does. And that's why we're not perfect yet. We're not sinless. Are you with me? And that's why we have problems. Because the whole of the New Testament then is the teaching on how to apply that. How does it work out? How do I get victory over the old? How do I live in the new? So the old, the new man doesn't sin, but the old does. So this is what the Bible says in Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Let me just read you that. It says, do not lie one to another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds. That's the old man, meaning your old position, right? So it says, do not lie one to another. Now, let me ask you a question. If when we're born again, we have no problem with sin whatsoever, why does Paul say, don't lie to one another? He's writing to Christians. So the question then we must ask ourselves is, can born-again Christians lie to each other? Absolutely. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, don't do it, would he? If it's automatic that we didn't do it, he wouldn't say, don't do it. He would have saved himself a bit of ink, right? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he says, don't lie to one another since you put off the old man. In other words, Paul's saying, because you've come into Christ and you realize now you're under a new rule, a new reign, you're in a new position, don't lie to one another because you've put that off. You've got rid of that. It's like, you like the shirt? The old position I've put off. Right? So I have to, in the book of Romans it says, reckon yourselves. What does that mean? It means, think about this, act like this. That you've put off the old man, the old position, the old nature. Now reckon yourselves alive to God. Apply it into your life. So truth comes to us, we have to apply it. So he says, don't lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we put off the old position, we put on the new. We reckon ourselves, I'm alive to God. Right? That's what you've got to enter into believing. So we reckon that. We work in that. We live in that. We appropriate that, in other words. Are you with me? Paul says in Romans 6, I am crucified with Christ. So the old position, the body of sin, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. So he says, I'm crucified. I've got to reckon myself as crucified with Christ. I've got to appropriate what that means and then live in that revelation so that we walk in newness of life. So if I've put off the old man, if I've put on Christ, I've got to reckon myself to be in Christ. I've got to remind myself, I've got to reckon myself, I've got to appropriate everything that that means in my daily life, thoughts, conversation, actions, the way I behave, my character has all got to come under the reckoning that now I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So baptism buries the old life and saves us from a godless world system. I shared this with you a few weeks ago. You know, the Bible says in Mark, he that is believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, if you take that one verse and isolate it, it means unless you've been baptized in water, you're not saved. Or you're not saved until you've been baptized in water. If you take it as it is, and we must take it as it is. But that doesn't mean that salvation comes when a person's been baptized, because salvation is by faith, right? We're justified by faith. And then we get baptized to bury the old life. So what a person's actually saying when they get baptized is, I'm done with the old life, I'm done with the old position, I've taken that off, and I'm going to bury it. I'm rising again, appropriating a new position, a new life, appropriating a new nature. Now, in Peter's epistle, he talks about Noah, his wife, his th- three sons and their wives, eight people that were in the ark, and he says they were saved by water. Well, what does that mean? It's nothing to do with being saved as in forgiven or going to heaven. He says they were saved by water. He's basically saying the water saved them from a godless system, a godless world. And it says this is an antitype of baptism. So what happens when a person gets baptized? They should be understanding that when they go in that tank and they are baptized in water, they're buried and they're rising again, appropriating the new life in Christ, and I've been delivered. That's what the word saved means. I've been delivered from a godless system. I'm no longer under the power of the devil. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Don't worry. Amen. So it's all about appropriating, understanding what has actually happened. So the Bible says then we're to seek those things which are above. So we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we're to seek those things which are above. We are here to seek those things which are in the spiritual realm. So the natural birth brought us into a world that really is full of needs. And because of that, our conversation, our thinking was on a totally lower level, because we were born into that kind of a world. It's a world that's corrupt. It's a world that's messy. I mean, I get sick and tired of listening to the news these days, because you just don't know who's taking backhanders and who's been corrupt, and you know, it's just rife. That's the system. Unfortunately, the world is like that the world over, you know, not just in this country. It happens in third world countries, and you know, wow. But we were born into that kind of a fallen world. And so all that we knew at that time was we were brought into a world of needs, and our conversation, our thinking, were all on a lower level. Because that's what ruled us. You understand? But the new birth positions us into a different level, a higher level. That's what being born again is all about. It positions us into a new kingdom. Now we're not in a kingdom that's governed by needs or politics or limited in any way. It's not governed by money and possessions. It's not governed by anything of that nature. We have been brought into a kingdom where we should be living in the realm of God's supply. Right? When John saw the vision of the revelation, and he saw the throne of God and the sea of glass around the throne, there's no panic in heaven. There's no need in heaven. There's no lower conversation in heaven. There's no limitations in heaven. God rules from his throne, sovereign over all. And we've been brought into a new kingdom where we need to be seeking those things which are above and living where his promises are a reality. His provision is plentiful. And a realm of where God's abundance and supply is ours. And listen, prosperity is not how much you've got. It's how much you give. That's prosperity. And I'm not talking about figures. I'm talking about how we allow ourselves to be used by God to give what he calls us to give. That's being prosperous. That's the prosperity mind. So we were born on a lower level. We've now been born again into a spiritual realm where God's promises are a reality. Amen? Where his provision is plentiful. Because even when Adam and Eve were created, everything in the garden was there. There was no lack. Why did God want to get the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land? Because everything was there overflowing. It's a land flowing, description, milk and honey. It's flowing with milk and honey. In other words, that's just a description of, you get into that land, we'll take care of the enemies, but everything's there for your provision. Once they got into the promised land, they didn't need manna and quails and miracles like that every day. They needed to trust God to conquer their enemies and take what he'd promised for them. But the land was flowing with milk and honey. The wilderness was just enough. The promised land was more than enough. So what do? We have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And our mind and our thinking must be brought into line with truth. To do that, we have to understand exactly where we are. The Bible says that we have been raised together with Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. That's exactly our position. That's what we have to appropriate. Right? That's what we have to appropriate. So someone brought up in poverty can be moved into luxury, but still have a poverty mentality, can't they? Someone that's brought up in poverty can be moved into luxury and still operate with a poverty mentality. Because their mind is still programmed from where they were. And that's why the Bible says, present your bodies, renew your minds. It's the renewing of our mind that brings us into transformation. So we have to stop thinking about the old messed up world that we were brought into and start believing that we've been brought into a new kingdom where God's supply is. Because in this system, I only operated in what I had. Now in this system, I'm called to operate in what he has. There's a great big difference, folks, and that's faith. That isn't, right? So that's how we have to operate. So his promise is a reality. So unless the person that's brought up in poverty changes their mindset and begins to realize, hey, I've left the old slums that I was being brought up in. I'm now in a detached house, in a nice neighborhood. I've got money in the bank. I've got a good job. I'm now, wow. Instead of just thinking, well, I left that, but, you know, I've still got to operate like I used to do. When we come into the kingdom of God, many people still operate in the lower level, in their thinking and in their minds, right? That we live in a world of needs. It's run by this, it's run by that. There's limitations when we've actually been brought into the kingdom of God. And God himself says, if you seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, I will show you, I will add all the things that the world seeks after. Listen, when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out with riches and plenty. The Ugandans sing a song. And I used to think, what on earth are they doing? The first time I went, they were singing this song, of course, in their own language. And some of the women on the platform actually got power, plant pots
and put them on top of the head, and they were dancing around like plant pots.
Others, last time we were there, they were dancing all around the church with Bibles on the head. Everybody. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know what they're singing about, but it looks good, so I joined in. I figured it out later. They were singing a song about coming out of Egypt. And they were coming out of Egypt because the Egyptians were glad to see them go after everything that had happened. So they turned to their neighbors, and their neighbors gave them riches and possessions. So they came out, not poor, they came out rich. Do you understand? And when you and I were born again, we weren't born into a kingdom of poverty. We were born again into a kingdom where God's promises are a reality and His supply flows if we can appropriate what we've come into. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, if the dog doesn't want to learn, you won't. But if it has a mind to learn, you can. But what the saying is basically inferring, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I mean, you know, when somebody's been so programmed to something for a long time, you can't teach them something new. The problem that we all have is that we were programmed with the world system. But we have to learn something new because we've been brought into a new realm. It's called the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God. For goodness sake, God help us and help me and help every one of us to renew our minds and start thinking like God wants us to think. Amen? Well, so the old dog can learn new tricks. Huh. So we live in a world of technology, as most of you know. And not to take advantage of that would be, we miss out, don't we? You know, I take my hat off to people in old age that have the cell phones and start texting. You know, particularly, you know, old folks that can go like this. I mean, I still don't know how people do that, because if I go like that, I'm hitting about 4 letters at one time. I mean, when I text, I go like that. But I must learn. Probably I need to grow my nails a bit more. But you know, when I went into the library once in England, and I saw this old lady, she was at the computer. I thought, that's great. You know, she must have been in her 90s, doing emails and what have you. I'm thinking, that's wonderful. Amen, Peggy. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about you, girl. She can send Facebook messages. And I think that's great. Because you can, you know, people can say, oh, I can't learn that now. I'm too old. You know, the world is passing me by. But you know, if we don't take advantage of these things, we miss out. But we've been raised with Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places, and we've been brought into a totally new world where we have to learn things. We have to learn how to appropriate those. What faith is. Faith should never be governed by what we have in our possession. Do you understand that? Our giving should never be governed by that mentality. It should be in the flow and supply of God. Because if God asks us to give something specifically, you can be absolutely certain He's going to repay you at some point. Absolutely. You can depend. You can stake your life on that. He's going to do it. It might not be next moment or next day or next week, but provision will come in all kinds of ways. When Paul the Apostle was caught up into the third heaven, he says, I was caught up into paradise. Isn't that a great word, paradise? I mean, that's what he's prepared for us. I was caught up into paradise. And he says, I saw and heard things that I'm, at this point in time, I'm not allowed to share. But I can guarantee that if we could just have a glimpse of paradise, we would see a new world. A world that's we've tasted and are tasting the powers of the world to come. It just takes faith to reach in to the other world. And we're there, spiritually, positionally. So we have to put on the new man, that is to walk and learn to walk in that revelation. That's appropriate. No, when the seasons change, it demands that we change. I haven't been wearing this jacket all summer. I brought it out again this morning. It's frost on the windows. Frost on the grass. Frost. Everything about me then tells me it's cold. Hey, cheer up, winter's coming. So why do we understand that? Because you feel it, you see it, you sense it. And we live in a world where our five senses have always operated. Eyesight, smell, taste, hearing, touch. So what we hear, what we see, what we touch and taste, etc. Our five senses tell us how to react to things, of course. And so when you look out the window and you see the frost on the ground, you understand it's cold outside. So you take appropriate action, you put on warmer clothes. That's obvious. It's the obvious thing to do. And our minds have concluded that winter's on the way. In the kingdom of God, in this new realm in which we're operating, the Bible says we have to walk by faith, walking in God's supply. We're not living in a lower world. We're now in Christ in heavenly places. So the psalmist said, he asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That's what the children of Israel were basically saying. Can God furnish a table? Can he spread a table in the world? Well, God spread the solar systems out. He spoke worlds into being. Of course he can. David says, in the presence of my enemies, in Psalm 23, he prepares a table, a banquet before me. We are called to walk in God's supply. Not in a lower level, not in lower thinking, not in lower attitudes, but in God's supply. So we're not living in a lower world now. We're operating in a new spiritual realm where God's supply comes if we appropriate the principles. And we have to live in expectation and anticipation, because he's a God of great abundance. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Now, if we believe that, our conversation has to be changed. If you believe it, it changes, right? He that has this hope of Christ coming will purify himself. So when you really believe he's coming, you purify your hearts. If you allow filth and all kinds of stuff to be stuck there in your heart, you don't believe he's coming. You might say you do, but you don't really believe it. That's what the Bible says, not me. Right? So, if we believe that we're living in a new realm where God can do exceeding abundantly, our conversation can never be negative. Because once it becomes negative, it drops to the lower level. Our thinking has to be changed. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's a powerful verse, you know. And that's where our battle is here. as a man thinks. It's like one preacher said, I dare not allow myself to think thoughts any different to what God thinks of me. Powerful statement. God's thoughts are towards every one of us. Amen. But sometimes we just put ourselves down. So our thinking has to change. And when we get right thinking, we move into a relationship that brings joy and peace into our hearts. You know, the Bible says, and we often quote this verse, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, basically the answer is no. But if you want to walk, if we all want to walk with God, and I mean walk with Him, we have to agree with Him. You have to agree in your mind, in your thinking. You have to agree in your conversation. Otherwise, we don't walk with Him. Oh, we know Him. We pray to Him, but walking with Him is different. Walking with Him is having a relationship with Him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. If we want to move from where we've been into a deeper relationship, we have to agree with Him. We have to apply His truth. And relationship is all important. Let me just quickly show you this before I finish. In Genesis chapter 29, there's a very interesting few verses, and it's all to do with Jacob and his wives, Leah and Rachel. And this is what it says. You know, Jacob got the wrong girl first time, and then he spent another 7 years for Rachel. And this is what it says in Genesis 29, verse 32. Leah was the one that he didn't want to marry, but his father-in-law tricked him. Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has looked on my affliction, and now my husband will love me, because he didn't really love her at that point. Then she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son, and she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband, listen to this, my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons, therefore his name was called Levi. Now she's saying, after Levi's born, now Jacob will be attached to me. There'll be a real connection with us. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and then she stopped bearing. This is what it means. She says, now we'll really be attached, will really be related. And then she brings forth Judah, which means praise. Praise comes not just from a new song. Praise comes and is born in our heart when there's a relationship with the living God. That's where it comes from, folks. Now he will be attached to me. You know, the difficulty sometimes is that we get blessed and we walk with God for a little while and then we revert back into the old conversation, the old negatives, the old way of thinking, the old put me down, I'm no good, I'll never make it kind of syndrome. And we go back into this kind of system when we've been brought into a new spiritual realm. Now, my husband will be related, will be attached, and she brings forth praise, Judah. The spiritual realm that Paul sought to bring revelation on is as different as the power of darkness and the kingdom of God's Son. So let's agree with the Lord in order to walk with Him and live in God's supply, not in our own limitations. Because that's where faith operates. We're tasting the powers of the world to come. When God orders us or speaks to us about giving, you may say, well, Lord, you know what I've got. God says, give it. It's going to come back more than you gave. It's always going to come back because we're living in a different realm. This old world is limited, but the one that we've been called to, the one that we've been positioned in, has no limits. There's no limits. There's enough money in the kingdom of God to get kingdom work done if it could only be released right across the nation. It's there. But the mentality, the thinking, so often is earthbound. And we need to walk in God's supply, agreeing with Him, knowing we're in a new kingdom with a new nature. So put off the old, put on the new, let your conversation be ordered aright, and walk with the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that wasn't bad, Pastor. Now you do it. I will try. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Just tell them we've finished, yeah? Father, we thank you this morning for the word of the Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord, that the scriptures present to us. I pray today that you'll give us all a deeper, further revelation and help us all to appropriate that so that we don't operate in a lower level, but we operate in that spiritual realm that you have brought us into through the greatest sacrifice of all, the sacrifice of your Son. And so today we want to thank you and bless you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to take up our time.